ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music and more.
Now with a look at the news in technology, welcome back to Peter Mark, a software developer and technology commentator from Access Informatics. Peter, good evening. Welcome back to Nightlife.
Thanks, Philip. Good to be with you.
Can we start with this pretty alarming development of fake celebrity-endorsed ads on Facebook? I mean, if you use Facebook, you might have seen ads where well-known Australian celebrities seem to be recommending products. But they're not real, are they?
Yeah, I don't know about you. For years, I've noticed fake-looking ads with Australian celebrities pictured in them. Usually, they've been commercial TV types like Carl Stefanovic or David Koch or Richard Wilkins. Sometimes the poor devil's in handcuffs. But recently, I started to see popular ABC contributor Dr. Carl Krusianlicki apparently recommending a natural remedy to high blood pressure that works by cleaning the blood. I clicked the ad and it took me to a page that looked like a fake Nine News story, but the URL was wrong. Mm. And it also had things like Chemist Warehouse logo, so it kind of looked authentic. There were more pictures of Dr. Carl and others, including Maggie Beer smiling and holding up bottles of pills. So it was clearly fake. Now, at the top right of items on Facebook, there's a little three-dot button. It's not terribly obvious. So I clicked there and chose to report the ad. They give you a few options as to why you're reporting. I first tried to say that it was pretending to be someone else, but then they wanted the Facebook page of the person. So in the end, I reported it saying the ad was misleading or scam, which I think it is.
Yep.
Anyway, about an hour later, I was astonished to receive a message from Facebook saying, quote, "We've taken a look and found that this ad doesn't go against our advertising standards." So I had a look at their advertising standards page, and they make it very clear that you must not pretend to be Meta or Facebook. However, they don't appear to care if you pretend to be another business or person. They said, as I'd reported the ad, I won't see it anymore, but it won't be removed. Anyway, because I'd clicked through that ad, I now started to get lots more ads from Carl.
I was going to say, you get a torrent of dodgy
products. Yeah, that's right, because it knows I'm interested, I guess. There's one that I thought was particularly disturbing, which had a video of him talking direct to camera, introducing himself, and then it kind of went on to, showing slides and things of products with blood vessels clogged up and being cleaned and things like that. But they'd obviously heavily edited the audio from, I guess, stuff they'd recorded off air or something to make it sound like an endorsement. Anyway, I actually know Carl a little bit, so I emailed him to let him know what had happened. And Philip, he replied that other people had been contacting him about dodgy use of his good name, although he did say that one person wrote to complain that they'd bought the product and it didn't work.
Yeah, this is no good, isn't it? I mean, this is just straight-out deception. It's false and misleading advertising. For a start, it would offend against national and state consumer codes right now.
Well, you would think so. Several countries have specific laws. Australia's got something being drafted, but nothing that's been put in place so far. You'd think that, Facebook could be compelled to stop the ads. But look, advertising platforms, which includes not just Facebook, but also Google and many others, they're highly automated. I mean, they're dealing with billions of ads and things. They don't actually have people. They have AI and algorithms that are basically concerned with matching paid ads with people who might be interested in them. The platforms say that they do remove millions of ads. In fact, Google reported in 2022 they removed 5.2 billion ads, I presume globally. But even with all the removed ads, the ones that remain are often pretty obvious to the alert observer. There's characteristics that you'll recognise, things like surprising endorsements, seeing Dr. Carl recommending a natural therapy. They often have strange-looking URLs in the landing page. They have spelling errors, fake news stories, and unfamiliar payment methods. In early 2022, Australian mining magnate Andrew Forrest launched a case against Facebook for running ads featuring him. that linked to a cryptocurrency scam. The ACCC also launched a case against Facebook and Meta in 2022, alleging they engaged in false, deceptive and misleading conduct in publishing these ads. Now, both cases are ongoing. I understand the Andrew Forrest case, which is in Western Australia and the US, is due to restart at the end of this week. So we'll see how that goes. Yeah. I think they could remove them.
They could if they wanted to, but they don't want to, do they?
Well, that's right. They want to take the money, I guess. Yeah. I mean, they have access to the very best AI tools. They can look at your photos. They identify what your interests are, what products you buy and where. They even, you know what you're looking at as you're scrolling. So, you know, they can do all of that sort of stuff. It seems to me, for them to say that they can't recognise a fake Dr. Carl ad with obvious signs of fraud. I mean, given that someone has, I'm sure several people have reported the ad, it just pops up again straight away under a different account. I mean, how easy would that? So I just don't think they want to do it. Mm. Presumably, as you say, that they're more motivated to take the money than they are to protect users. So Facebook does encourage users to report suspicious content using that ... menu. I mean, my experience is it didn't work for me, but do give it a go. I would urge people to report things as soon as they see them.
Yeah, I mean, AI gets some bad press in that way. Of course, there are other positive aspects of it. In fact, there are many positive aspects of it, aren't there?
Hmm. Absolutely. I mean, AI is a blanket term that covers a range of technologies that appear to make computers do things we think of as intelligence. One major part of this tool set is called machine learning. And in fact, a lot of what people call AI today is really machine learning. And that's where a model is trained on a set of examples that have been labeled by experts. So an example might be teaching a model to distinguish between pictures of cats and pictures of dogs. And these models are now so good that they can be better than most people at identifying the content of images. I mean, they could even do what species animals are. But if you've ever looked at medical imagery, it's very hard for the layperson to know what's going on. You look at these scans and you think, just a bunch of blobs and lines and things. But an experienced professional can spot things on a scan very well. Anyway, it turns out that machine learning models trained with thousands of labelled scans are very good at interpreting them these days. Studies in Sweden and most recently in the UK by the NHS have found that AI interpretation of breast screening mammograms is not only highly accurate, but was able to spot early signs of cancer that even the doctors missed. The tool, called MIA, was used alongside NHS clinicians to look at the mammograms of over 10,000 women. Most were cancer-free, but the AI successfully picked up all of the cases who had symptoms and, more importantly, identified an extra 11 cases that doctors had not noticed. So detecting a tumour early means that the procedure required is minimal and the survival rate is much higher than if it was picked up later. Yeah. So far, all the scans continue to be looked at by experts as well as AI, but the signs are good that AI could eventually take over this task. Now, AI-based screening is practically instant, so that could reduce that waiting time. They get a scan and then you have to wait a couple of weeks before you get the result. There are opportunities also for pre-screening to be done by less trained medical staff, such as nurses in the field, and positives can be quickly referred on. Getting the vital training data, though, is difficult because of quite correct privacy requirements. Breast cancer doctors don't seem fazed by some of their work being done by computer. They apparently look at around 5,000 scans a year, sometimes 100 at a sitting, and fatigue and interruptions can lead them to miss something. So, Philip, we do hear a lot about AI advances, which might be for evil, but I think we should celebrate some of the successes as well as watching for those abuses.
Yeah, indeed. Look, we think of Google as the company that made web search work, but 20 years ago, they also revolutionised email with an offering that many thought was an April Fool's joke. What was the scene at the time with email?
Yes, on April the 1st, 2004, Google announced Gmail, which is a web-based email system that was not only free, but also offered a huge gigabyte of storage. Now, it's hard to remember back then, but at the time, I mean, 15 megabytes might have been regarded as huge, so this was an enormous amount. You typically got a small email account with your internet service, They used to provide these with the service. It's basically a way to lock in a customer. If you've given out your email as, you know, at Optus or at Big Pond or whatever it is, it's very hard for you to change provider. So I always recommend that people get their email from somewhere else. Anyway, at launch back in 2004, many people thought Google was just doing some sort of April Fool's prank with this Gigabyte. But the invitations were spread and we began to find that it was actually real. There are actually several innovations, including this seemingly unlimited storage. Hmm. Messages weren't just filed in folders, but are tagged, so they can be filed under several tags and not just put in one place. As you would expect, Google's search of email is, I think, the best of any option. Google's spam detection is also excellent. It sounds like an ad for Google, but I really think they've done a good job here.
They probably do. They do have the best email, don't
yeah,
they?
Yeah, I mean, the spam really took off, and it used to be a terrible problem. There was a period of time there where your inbox would just be full of spam, but Gmail managed to put most of that spam into a spam folder. There are a few false positives, so if you have a spam folder, it's worth having a look. I sort of have a look every couple of weeks and sometimes find something in there. They have been improving things over the 20 years, so Gmail now sorts the inbox into three categories. There's primary, promotions, and social, and you now get 15 gigabytes of storage, which is unheard of. Some people, like me, like to keep everything, so I actually pay for more storage. Other features include things like themes, email priorities, smart replies, and recently, talking of AI, they've added large language model Gemini, which can actually draft an email for you or rewrite it to make it more friendly or more formal. Gmail now has an estimated 1.2 billion users, which is about a seventh of the global population. It's also getting hard to run your own server. People I know who try to have their own server for their business or their home find that their email gets rejected as spam. So we're kind of being forced to use one of the big email carriers. They do insert some ads. They put them in your email inbox, but under the promotions tab. For a while, they used to put ads down the side. I don't know if you remember that. And it was funny because at the first, they used to look at your email to see what you're interested in. And I had a friend who used to say, "Oh, Peter, I'm thinking of buying a large screen TV and a luxury car." And he'd get, you know, those ads would be triggered. Anyway, they don't do that anymore. They say that they don't read your email to target ads, but they do use tracking of your web activity while you're signed into Google. Now, of course, if your email is Gmail, you are signed in most of the time. So I guess that's the benefit they're getting there. There's one exception about looking at the content. They are legally required to scan for child sex abuse material, which they won't allow you to create or distribute. Mm. I mean, I love Gmail, but it does seem to me that millennials are less interested in email these days. They tend to prefer instant messaging or social platforms. So, Philip, maybe we're a dying breed. Anyway, I wish them a happy birthday.
Yes,
I've had a good time with Gmail.
Any chance of that they'll kill it, do you think, one day?
Look,
They
do have a history of cancelling things. They cancelled Jamboard, Google Domains, Stadia, Hangouts, and my favourite, Google Reader. I used to love using Google Reader. They're actually in the process of killing the podcasts app. They suggest that people migrate over to YouTube Music. There's actually a website killed by Google that documents all the products they've killed, and there's a lot of them. But look, I think it's pretty unlikely they'll kill Gmail. Mm.
All right, now insurance companies collect data, and that data can be used in ways that we might not be comfortable with. I mean, recent examples including information about our behaviour being used to set premiums. I mean, insurers must love big data sets of all kinds. They'd love personal data sets. How are they spying on us?
Yeah, so look, the Wall Street Journal has reported that a Northern California resident, Cindy Picos, was dropped by her home insurer last month. The reason was that the insurer had noted from aerial photographs of her house that the roof looked like it was nearing the end of its life. It turns out that just about every house in built-up areas has now been photographed. First, it was blurry satellite images, then planes flying over, high-altitude balloons, and now even drones are used. The US Geospatial Insurance Consortium, an industry consortium, has airplane images of 99% of the US population's homes. So image recognition, AI again, is used to look for signs that might mean a higher risk for the insurer, including things like damaged roof shingles, yard debris, overhanging tree branches, and undeclared swimming pools or trampolines. It does seem, though, from Cindy's case, that there are false positives, and her roof was declared to be fine because she hired an independent roof inspector. Another disturbing development is that car makers, including Kia, Subaru, Mitsubishi and General Motors, have been providing data about driver behaviour to insurance companies in the US, leading to higher premiums in some cases. The New York Times reported last month that a Seattle driver was stunned when the cost of renewing his car insurance jumped by 21% for no obvious reason. Connected cars, which modern cars are now, are passing on data, including speeding, hard braking, and fast acceleration. This is via a data sharing deal between GM and LexisNexis Telematics Exchange. GM said that the data is only shared with the explicit consent of the driver, but dealers are incentivized to get you to sign the agreement, and you might not realize what you're agreeing to. They say that sharing such data enables good drivers to get cheaper insurance, but of course the counter is also true. So look, I guess the message there is be careful about what you agree to. When, you know, Philip, they get you to sign a bunch of forms when you're buying a car, sometimes you don't get much choice, and of course there'll be many pages of fine print. But with connected cars, it's a whole new ballgame, I think.
Indeed, indeed, yes. Be careful what you share, indeed, even if you're not aware that you're sharing it. All right, Peter, terrific to talk. Thank you so much. We'll talk again in a fortnight.
Thanks, Philip. I always enjoy the show.
You've been listening to a Nightlife podcast. For more great conversations about the issues that impact you, as well as features on travel and food, head to the Nightlife webpage. You'll find it at abc.net.au/nightlife. You don't need to be a night owl to enjoy the nightlife.